Our first reading is from Luke 1. It was supposed to be from verse 12, but I've just been told that it's from verse 5, so you'll have to bear with me. I usually prepare my readings. So that's on page 855 in the Church Bible. 855. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And when they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and he fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to you to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people."
Continuing on with that reading, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. For the children staying in church today, I put a frog on my PowerPoints. If you're a GEMS leader, you might have an idea what that means. But just tell me at the door what you think the frog stands for at the end of the service. It was just a week or so ago, Thursday, a week ago, that an ambulance stopped outside my door. And a female ambulance driver got out. And she opened the sliding door and started handing things to the paramedic inside. I couldn't help thinking to myself, what a strange spot to park. Halfway around the corner, 3 or 4 feet off the curb, blocking traffic in both ways. I actually said, what a stupid place to park. Strange. Perhaps worse than strange, really weird. Who would park there? Why not just go around the corner, another 1 or 2 seconds, and you could park nicely on the side. Traffic could go through. Then a police car came up behind it. And I thought to myself, well, at least he'll tell the ambulance driver to move around the corner. Makes more sense after all. And then another police car came. But they weren't telling the ambulance to do anything. And then another police car came. And then another police car came. And then another police car came. And then another, no, a helicopter came. At this point of time, I thought the dog needed a walk. So I put the lead on the dog and I started walking around the park till all this dust and debris came from the helicopter landing on the netball courts. It was a really windy day, as many of you know, just from a week and a bit ago, that how windy it was that weekend. It was a Thursday, it was just howling and dust and everything went, and I thought the dogs had enough of a walk and I went home. Well, then they actually did move the ambulance and worked on this man for an hour. It seems he had been down the road and there had been an altercation with his son, I think. He was an 81-year-old guy. He actually shot at his son, it seems, from what people told me. But then he turned the gun on himself when the police arrived and he shot himself, and he was the guy in the ambulance. Now, I started to send photos to the family group on our WhatsApp and our messaging, family messaging. And I got lots of responses. Wow, this is unusual, different, and so on. It was the talk of Engadine for at least 1 or 2 days. Now, it's interesting, if you send these messages and they got photos with it, you get a reaction, and because it's unusual. We've lived at that park now for 17 years or so, opposite the park, that spot, and nothing like that's ever happened before. And it's funny, it's a big thing, and so you announce it, you let people know, and you get your reactions to what you announce. But imagine sending it out and people respond and say, my children respond and say, I don't believe you, Dad. Those things don't happen where we live. You're just pulling our leg. And often you would have to say, when people send out messages on Facebook or Snapchat or Twitter, that a lot of the stuff you get can be a little bit average, some of it anyway. Just in case you're sending me stuff, I'm not Yours is, of course, important, but sometimes it can be a little bit average. But we got a big, you get a big response to things like this. And it's good to be believed. You would hate to make an announcement and people didn't believe or didn't respond to what you say. At home, we can send lots of announcements, Marion and I, in regards to things that happen in the home in a family shot of some description, and you don't get any response. Marianne sometimes sends some of my children who still live at home a picture of the dishwasher that they didn't unpack in the morning. The best you could hope for is just the word sorry, but then you mightn't hear that either. Sometimes we send out a message about who's home for dinner. I personally believe that we should have an opt-in system. That means that if you are home for dinner, you let us know. But if you're not home for, but if you don't send it, we assume you're not there for dinner. That's my preference. But the whole family assures me that you must always ask. They prefer an opt-out system rather than an opt-in system. So you get different reactions to what you send out, different ways of responding to announcements. And sometimes people simply don't believe what you send out. I remember a few years ago that there was someone down in Batemans Bay, I think, and there was a picture in the newspaper of a guy stroking the neck of a shark. And that looked very impressive to me. Stroking, you know, they're there in the boat and there's a shark there, right out of the water, and the guy's just stroking the neck of the shark. That went around. It wasn't true. That was photoshopped in, that shark. But it looked impressive. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I think, well, isn't that amazing? That shark is like a dog. You know, just pat the shark. I think we'd all like to do it. It's like swimming with the dolphins or something. Sometimes something amazing happens and we go, I don't believe it. But we say that when we really do believe it. Uncle so-and-so, Uncle John, who's 67 years of old, been a bachelor his whole life, gets married and we go, we don't believe it, even though we do believe it. We're just amazed by the fact that Uncle John at 67, a confirmed bachelor, got married. Well, brothers and sisters, when Zechariah heard the amazing news that he would be a dad from an angel of God, the angel Gabriel, and he was shocked and in wonder, he simply didn't believe it. He stood there and just didn't believe the news, even though it was a messenger from God. And I don't know what an angel looks like in particular, but we read that Zechariah was in fear. He was afraid. He was standing there in awesome wonder. And yet, when the messenger came, he basically said in his heart, I don't believe it. And he meant it. It wasn't like, I don't believe it in the terms of, but isn't this great news? He simply didn't believe it. I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. In other words, what you are promising God cannot be delivered. I do not believe you, God. Now, this is an amazing reaction. It's an amazing reaction. I'm just talking about reactions today, nothing else apart from that in what I'm looking at. It's an amazing reaction because Zechariah is a priest. He knew all the Old Testament stories. He knew that God had opened the womb of Sarah, who in her old age, in Abraham's old age, gave birth to Isaac. He knew that Isaac and Rebekah, though old, also gave birth to a child, or children, that God had opened their womb as well. And he knew about Rachel's womb being opened by God. And he knew about Elkanah's, Hannah's womb being opened by God as well. He knew the Old Testament stories. He knew them well. He was a professional. He was a priest. He was a religious man who worshipped at the temple and worshipped, presented sacrifices on behalf of others. And yet he just didn't believe it. An amazing reaction. Not possible. Can't happen. And even though the angel said, you prayed for this child, I imagine they had stopped praying many, many years ago. Now, in a sense, just moving ahead a few verses, we have the angelic, the same circumstances, but now the subject is not Zechariah, but Mary. And in a sense, the same response. Mary was standing there in awe and wonder at the messenger of God, the angel Gabriel. And the angel Gabriel said, do not be afraid. This is a message of great joy, and you're going to have a child. And the child is going to be the son of David, the saviour of the world. An amazing message. Now, her response, in a sense, is very similar to Zechariah. Zechariah said, how can it be, basically? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. And Mary's response, how can this be as I'm a virgin? They both question the angel. But Mary's response, because the angel can see into her heart, he knows that it's not a response of unbelief, but a response to how can that actually happen since I am a virgin? In a sense, the angel knew that Mary believed, while Zechariah didn't believe. Now, when you think of Zechariah again and his wife Elizabeth, what a wonderful message it was for them, because for them there would just be joy in the village in which they lived. Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months and then the people could see her. A huge amount of joy with the village gathering and saying, you know, he's had a child. Zechariah and Elizabeth have had a child in their old age, but for Mary it wasn't going to be like that. And that's what makes her response to the angel so remarkable, because as you look down the passage, she says to the angel, may it be as you have said. But for her it's all different. I'm often struck with this story. It really does strike you that her life was going according to plan. She was engaged. And engagement in those days had a lot stronger aspect to it than engagement in our day. It was a contract. She was going to marry a good man, Joseph, a God-fearing man. She would, Lord willing, have children by him. She would be respected in the village. She would, in the city or the town of Nazareth, it was all laid out for her. She could just see how her story would unfold, and this changes everything. An unwed mother, maybe accused of adultery, even perhaps facing stoning. Though at that time, the Romans didn't allow that. Bring up a child on your own, the gossip from the village directed at you, all these things, her whole life, everything had been on track, on plan, and then all disrupted by the angelic announcement. And yet she said, may it be to me as you have said. Two different responses to the announcement. Two different responses to the promises of God. One of belief, Mary, one of disbelief, Zechariah. So can I just ask you how you respond to the promises of God? Are you like Zechariah or like Mary in terms of this story? Do you believe that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary? Do you believe that Jesus came to die for our sins? Do you believe that he is the great, that he is great and indeed the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus at this time rules today, rules this world for the sake of the church, and that his kingdom will never end? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again? Do you doubt that your sins are actually forgiven and that on the judgment day or when you die, you'll actually stand with Christ in heaven? Do you doubt that that will happen for you? Do you believe Jesus promised to his disciples that he would be with them to the very end of the age? Do you believe that Jesus can work all things out for the good of those who love him? Do you believe that God's kingdom will grow, even though it started as small as a mustard seed? Do you believe that Jesus can continue to turn hearts and minds back to himself? Do you believe that Jesus will return and make all things new? Do you believe in the promises of God? If you're like Zechariah, you'll look at the circumstances of life and you'll doubt and you won't believe. For him, I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. And he looked at the circumstances and he thought, no, God can't do it. Do you believe these promises of God? And there are many, many more in the Bible. I've just picked out some of them. Do you actually believe it? When things go bad, when we see the forces of evil ascending and Christianity descending in Australia, do you still believe that Jesus is on the throne and that he is in control of all things for the sake of his church, like we read in one of Paul's letters, Ephesians? Do you believe that? Do you believe that nothing is impossible with God? As the angel said, two reactions to a message, a grand announcement. Belief, unbelief. And yet God, despite the believing and the unbelief, still fulfilled his word, didn't he? Zechariah still had a child with Elizabeth, and Mary's life continued as well, and even she gained a husband and so on. But she gave birth to the Saviour of the world. If you don't believe the promises of God, then there's not much comfort for you in your life. There's not much at all. I was talking with some people who were over this week for dinner, and I said, I'm preaching on this text. And they said, yeah, life is a bit of a maze. And when you go in those mazes, and I don't like them myself, you know, those ones with you can't see out, the hedge type ones, not the ones in a book, but the hedge type ones. I don't like it because I get stuck in the middle of them and I don't know where to go. And I tend to look for the exits on the side. You know, if your heart is pumping too hard, please go out the side and go around the front. I'm that type of person. I don't like mazes. I like to know where I'm going. But life is like a maze that, and you need to, it needs faith on our part because there are so many things that are unplanned, unforeseen, that change all the time. And we have to have confidence that the God that Jesus is with us as he promised the disciples, and I will be with you to the very end of the age in the difficult maze of life. No comfort if you don't believe in the promises of God. The story of Bethlehem is an amazing story, and it started thousands of years earlier in the Garden of Eden, when God said to Adam and Eve, and out of you will come someone who will strike the head of the serpent, who will defeat evil. And then it was announced and re-announced right throughout the Old Testament, and there Jesus is. It's an amazing story, the fulfillment of a promise. Do you believe? There is no comfort if you do not believe. The last thing I want to mention is, before I close, is this, that this is stupendous news, and it should be passed along. The angel Gabriel made the announcement to Zechariah and Mary, and now it's up to us to continue that work of announcing the birth of the Saviour. This is a great opportunity at the end of the year to invite people into your lives, to invite them to a church service, to invite them into your home, perhaps your neighbours. Maybe you've never done that. Perhaps that's an opportunity. A barbecue, a safe area. It's an opportunity to write a card to someone at work with a proper Christmas message. It's an opportunity to reach out and continue to announce that good news to others. I thought it was tremendous with the gingerbread house coming up this week, and that's why we're asking for prayer, that so many people coming are not part of this church community. That's a great thing. The craft group has many women who are not part of this community, and they also, you know, we want to pray for Emily and the message, but the ladies sitting at the table who do believe, so they have an opportunity to reach out to others. These are the things we need to pray for. So, I'm just going to finish off with a question. This is a question for the courtyard. So if you could flick it up, Ben, just... So you could ask someone, if you're brave enough, who do you resemble, Mary or Zechariah? Do you trust God, or do you find it difficult to trust God? Or do you waver? Probably spelt that wrong. Waver in between. And the last one was for those kids. Just tell me what frog means at the door, if you can work it out. Amen.